Hello, Atlanta, and welcome to it. I know that's overdoing it a little bit, but you'll have to forgive me. But welcome to it nonetheless, because it begins today. And with me, it begins right now. What begins? Boys and girls, moms and dads. This is the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week, for those of you who don't know. Okay, it is. It's not Monday. That's the work week. Sunday's the first day of the week. And today is the first week of the Atlanta Falcons 2024-2025 season. Yeah. It begins this week. It is Falcons week. It is football week. It begins today. That's going to be the majority of the show today, because this is the week. It's also the week of the Olympics. We'll get into a little bit of that. But yeah, it's Falcons week. And that'll be the majority of the show today. A lot to talk about. Braves United last night. We'll get into all that. Braves today. Yeti. I have a chance here because Eric Slaughter is going to be the technical producer, executive producer, engineer in charge, phone screener, co-host, all those duties that they have to do when I'm doing a show from up here at the Northern Kia Studios. But the Noelle White's still in the chair for another minute here, and I need her expertise on something. I didn't plan on starting here, but I'm doing so, Noelle, because I know you got to get out of Dodge, but I wanted your insight on something. Okay.
Okay.
Are you with me? How you doing, by the way?
Pretty good.
Okay. Good. All right. So, because Noelle covers the Dream and she's into this thing, and she probably, I'm guessing you watched the All-Star game last night.
Of course.
Okay. So here's my question. I want to make sure I have this correct. The U.S. Women's Olympic team, which is the WNBA All-Stars, isn't as good as the other WNBA All-Stars.
it sounds like it. Well, that's what it felt like. But they had Diana Taurasi mic'd up last night, and she made it clear to her USA team that they got to keep their foot on the pedal. They can't take their foot off for anybody, not even their own fellow teammates. So maybe that was the kick in the pants they needed on their way to Paris, hopefully.
I mean, they're still going to win the gold, but
I mean, yeah.
I think it's sort of interesting here because it kind of goes to the whole, debate over and, that they had about, picking this team, that the U.S. Women's Olympic team, which is the WNBA All-Stars, isn't as good as the other WNBA All-Star team.
The other set of All-Stars, yeah.
Yeah. So when you're B team, it's like, did you see the movie The Boys in the Boat?
Yeah.
Okay. They took the JV team to win the gold, right?
Right.
They didn't take the... Right, we should take the JV team. We should just take the JV team. Say, heck with it, you guys are fired, you lost the game last night, let's take Angel and Caitlin, let's take the JV team.
I mean, you had a lot of people asking for about four or five players that was on that regular All-Star
right.
team last night, trying to figure out why they're not Olympians. So, yeah, I mean, they were pretty much carried by Asia and Breonna Stewart last night.
Yeah, and of course now, here's the other thing, too, that happened last night in basketball, and we'll only kind of mention this, it's really not a talking point today, but I noticed that today, literally 142 NBA scouts are heading, for some reason, they're flying to the middle of Africa to a country called South Sudan. I don't know why, but they're going there for some reason or another.
Express
I have no clue.
Express tickets to South Sudan.
We might
get some centers and forwards from South Sudan in the next couple years.
Yeah, if I'm the Hawks, I park an Atlanta Hawks Africa Bureau somewhere. I don't even know the capital of South Sudan. I apologize. just be safe. That's all.
Yeah, send your number one scout over there.
Civil War thing.
Send your number one scout over there. Get them some housing and find me somebody.
Right, exactly. Especially that 117-year-old dude. All right, anyway. Noelle, it was good to chat with you for a moment here, and we'll look forward to the Olympics. Thanks much.
Always, John. I hand it over to E.
All right, and Big Eric will slide into the show. All right, let's get into the show today. As I mentioned here, this is 10 to 2. It's all you at 404-726-0929. Try and not be, a caller named Richard. All right, that's all I ask. We had one yesterday. We had to dump him because, I just don't know why you would want to come on a show. I offer you a platform. 99.5% of you take this seriously. And when I say seriously, we can have fun. I'm not saying we have to be serious. I'm just saying that this is a show that we talk. Don't say something to me on the air you wouldn't say to me in person. You know, that's all. I guess, you know, you're talking directly to me. I mean, you're in my face even though you can't see my face, right? I mean, so don't lie to me. Don't come up with stuff, because way I come, a guy come in yesterday and just flat out lie in the air. And it was just sophomoric. And he was probably in his mid to late 20s maybe, but he acted like a 12-year-old. And it was just like really bad. And we had to dump him, and it's like, come on. I don't have time to waste on that. You don't have time to waste on that.
Well, you know, John, he called back later to apologize to you. You had just signed off, and he realized that he kind of, you know, maybe did something. I wasn't there. It was before I took over, because that was the first half of the show. I did your second half of the show. And he called back to apologize. But, yeah, you know, understand that, like John said, you're calling up to be a part of the show. He's welcoming you as his guest. You are his guest, not just a caller, and you know, treat him right.
Right. Right. And I treat you right. You treat me right. And we can have passionate discussion. We can disagree without being disagreeable. I'm glad that caller called back, because he came on our show and he flat out lied. You know, he made up a story that wasn't true, provably not true, and it was defamatory, and it was just a sophomoric, like a 12-year-old would call in, you know, and make something up and try and do something. Understand one thing, too, as you call in here, one of the kind of cool things is when you are done with your appearance on the show, you can, you know, hang up and listen to it on the radio. There is a delay, okay, and it's a rather lengthy delay, and the delay exists. So whatever you're hearing now, I said, what, 30 seconds ago? Eric, something like that?
28 seconds. Yep, 28 seconds.
28 seconds. I was close. All right. Mm-hmm. So it's already happened. It's already in the ether. I said it 28 seconds ago. Because, and this is why you have to turn your radio down when you call in. Because, we have to dump you. And I don't want to dump anybody. You know, and I'm not just talking about, you know, curse words or something like that. I don't want to dump anybody. I want to have a conversation with you. All right, so the Braves. Let's start there. Let's get some of the headlines out of the way. Because, again, the majority. The show today is going to be about the Atlanta Falcons. It is the how excited are you, before we get to the Braves, that it is the first day of the first week of the Falcons 2024-25 season, Eric?
Oh, I'm over the top excited, ready for it. I wish we were getting into September, but I'll go through the process. I'll watch them practice, talk about all the storylines, how the offense look like is going to be magical, how the defensive players look like they're the next coming of the Bears 85, and then we'll get ready for opening day.
No, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to be the Bears. No Super Bowl shuffle.
I'm over here knocking over stuff here in my studio today. Okay, that's really good. That was really swift. All right. We're like 10 days, 11 days away from the Hall of Fame game, right? I mean, we're knocking on the door stuff. I mean, we're less than 3 weeks away, 19 days away from the Falcons play in Miami. But this is the opening of camp week. And I know a lot of my family is excited for the Olympics. We'll get into that. The Olympics and camp for the Falcons, same day, Wednesday. So we'll see how that kind of all works out. All right, back to the Braves here. Want to get a couple of things in that happened yesterday. Braves, as you know, I'm not breaking any news here, split a doubleheader with the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals are in a fist fight with a half a dozen other teams for the final wild card spot right now. So this is all really important stuff to them. It's really important for the Braves, too. They had some, you know, nice moments yesterday. The bats kind of sung again. Ozuna doing Ozuna things. Eddie Rosario with a big clutch home run. That was good to see. Matt Olson. No, Matt Olson. No. He made one nice defensive play, but it kind of came right to him. And by the way, his defense has actually been pretty darn good. He's a Gold Glover, and his defense is good. It's just his, the whole bat thing isn't working for me. So the final game will be at 1:30 this afternoon. Max Fried slated to start for the Braves against the Cardinals. And so in addition to Falcons camp, in addition to the Olympics, this week is also going to be a big week for the Braves, because they get the Reds coming in, and then they go off to later in the week to play the MESS in New York. So, and that will be a really interesting series, because the Mets, I'm not going to say it's make or break for the Mets, but the Mets know that if the Braves come in there and work them, their chances of catching the Braves become very slim. And it's just a matter of time kind of ticking down. I mean, the Braves have 65 games to go. By that time, you'll be down to about 57 or so games to go. And it's just a time compression. And once we get to about 45 games left in the year, you'll start to hear me talk about something that exists in baseball called the Rule of 500. And the Rule of 500 says that if you're ahead of somebody and you play 500 baseball the rest of the year, what do they have to do to catch you, right? Okay, so that's called the Rule of 500. And that's usually around 40 to 45 games to go in the year. So, Braves split. They got a 130 game today. Hopefully they could take out the Cardinals and win the series, because that's all they have to really do. I know it was disappointing that Bryce Elder got banged around last night, but, and that's another story. Again, we have to still work out the other starters here kind of down the stretch here. I guess you're just going to get a little Dow Jones out of Bryce Elder. We've seen that in the past. For the Braves, it's just about winning series. Just go and win a series. Go and win a series. Split series on the road, win series at home, you're going to be fine. Atlanta United. Where's that Joe Patrick tweet? I got to find this Joe Patrick tweet. I think I saved it. Atlanta United won last night. Here it is. Atlanta United won last night. Beat the Columbus Crew. Joe Patrick tweets out, because you may know Joe. Joe's our Falcons reporter. He's also an Atlanta United reporter. He does football of both kinds. He tweets out last night, Atlanta United, winless in their last five games in all competitions, beats the defending MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew tonight 2-1. Atlanta scores twice on corners. It's the first two set-piece goals they've had all season, and Gregerson had a brace. And he says, don't bet on on MLS. He's right. Don't bet. All right. Did you have Gregerson with a brace? No. Did you have him with one goal? No. Did you have Atlanta United scoring on a set piece for the first time all year? No. Did you have him scoring twice? No. Did you have them beating Columbus Crew? No. He's right. So good for them. Look, Rob Valentino, lost in all this, is sort of, once again, as the interim head coach for the second time, Rob Valentino is auditioning for the job as the head coach of this team. And they're going to make a decision in the offseason here. And if Rob Valentino does well, I mean, the players seem to really like playing for him. I would have no problem if that's the decision that they make. He's got a lot of experience in the organization. He's been the head coach. He's been here for a number of years. The fans know him. I think that Rob Valentino does fairly well here, and I don't know how you classify fairly well. Last night was fairly well with kind of a makeshift plug-and-play roster here that he's going to have to do with new players coming in through the end of the year. If he manages to kind of make this all kind of connect and work in some form or fashion, not expecting huge things here, but if he makes it kind of work where they win a few games, maybe make the playoffs here, that was a big 3 points last night. Sure, I could go with that. So for Atlanta United, nice win last night against Columbus Crew. All right, a lot to get into, as mentioned. The Olympics are going to start this week. We are going to get into that a little bit, but most of the show today is going to be about the Atlanta Falcons because it is camp week. The Olympics start on Wednesday. Now, you're going to see all the promotion for the opening ceremonies, which I guess are going to be in boats down the Seine. It's a Spielberg thing. It's going to be different. It sounds like fun on Friday night. But don't be mistaken that when they take the boats to the stadium to light the torch there, I think it's going to be really well staged and really beautiful. It's going to be a great show. That when they light the torch, let the games begin, that's when the Olympics begin. No. The Olympics start on Wednesday, okay? We have rugby and we have soccer, both on Wednesday. And the reason you have to start them a couple of days before the opening ceremonies is you need the extended time for rest. So there's going to be a lot of soccer on Wednesday. Rugby's playing on Wednesday. Again, events that require a longer time period than just the frame of the Olympic Games themselves. So Wednesday, the Olympic Games themselves begin, and Falcons camp opens up. And I'm excited for both, but I'm going to be totally honest that I am far more excited for the Atlanta Falcons camp to open up, because that's going to be the thrust of today's show, about discussing what you expect to see in camp and basing it around a couple of questions that I have for you. 404-726-0929. It is a Sunday morning live from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with all of you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, yeah, this was on the playlist. It's on one of my CDs. Yeah, because I still have CDs, that's correct. Because I still have a CD player in my car. That's all my car is. Oh, John, you drive a brand new car. No, I got a CD player in my car. Yeah, which is good because I have a lot of CDs that I still like, including two funk CDs, and that's on one of them, and a whole bunch of heavy metal stuff. See, that's the way I listen to music, is, you know, we have the iPod, which got, I don't know how many songs, Eric Slaughter, do you think you have on your digital platform, your phone, your iPod, whatever? I still have an iPod, believe it or not. How many do you think you have?
Around about 800.
Okay. Because Tammy looked it up. We have 4,322.
Wow. That's a lot of audio files. Woo. I have two old iPods. I got the real small one that I probably couldn't even find the power cord to anymore.
Right. Probably not.
Yeah. And I've got one of the old Nanos still somewhere laying around.
By the way, isn't that how they rig the system? I mean, they're too smart by half. What they do is, all they do is they change, when they do the new phone or the new gizmo, they change the size of the connector so that the USB connector, you have to get a new one.
Yep, or the adapter. Either get a new one or the adapter. Smart business model, smart. Keep them having to buy new stuff. You won't go out of business.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, here's another $20. Here's another $20. Here's another $20. I mean, this is an Apple thing, right? Right? I mean, well, not just Apple, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, 404-726-0929. I always have three questions for you. I have two Falcons questions I have. And the first question I'll ask Eric here, this is a question. If you don't want to answer it, that's fine. Again, when I ask the questions, I put out three every show. If you don't want to answer any of the questions and you want to talk about the Braves here with 65 games to go and what you're seeing, because, again, the trade deadline is now 9 days away for the Atlanta Braves, and it's going to be a hectic week. That's another thing's coming up this week. We've got the Olympics. We've got Falcons camp. We've got, you know, not only the Braves going to be playing the Reds and then a really big series up in New York, but we have the trade deadline. And so it's going to be a really busy time. Plus, the NFL teams are going to be making moves too. And we'll get into all the NFL news in just a moment here. First question today is about this Olympic week here. What Olympic event? Last night, if you missed it, the U.S. men's basketball team barely beat, held on last 8 seconds to beat South Sudan. Okay. And the U.S. women's Olympic team lost to the other WNBA All-Stars that aren't going to the Olympics. All right. That's okay. So anyway, what Olympic event are you most looking forward to in Paris this year? Eric, what event are you most looking forward to?
I am most looking forward to the track and field, the 200s and the 400s. Those are always some of the best moments, all the flashing lights and the world's men's and women's fastest people.
So Noah Lyles and Sha'Carri, they're kind of like in your world here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to track and field because I love watching track and field at the Olympics. I admit I don't really watch track and field outside of the Olympics.
Who does?
Nothing really kind of grabs my attention.
Yeah.
But in the Olympics, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it becomes a phenomenal thing here. I'm also looking forward to swimming and diving because my wife, my beautiful bride, Tammy, loves the swimming and the diving. And it's interesting. And, you know, there's this really kind of nasty little hatred rivalry going on between the U.S. team and the Australian team. And so I would be more interested if they got into like a fight in the pool and somebody tried to dunk somebody, but that doesn't usually happen. But no, I got to say, I think when it comes to the Olympics, what am I? Well, gymnastics. You know, I mean, I even watched, it's the one trials I watched. I mean, a little bit of the swimming trials, but I really watched the gymnastics trials. And I am fat. Everybody has their idea of what makes the world's, you know, what's the world's greatest athlete, body, you know, so heptathlon, decathlon, NBA, hockey, whatever it is. Everybody's got an answer. You know, it's the Ironman, whatever. To me, gymnasts, because when I was younger, I could run, I could swim, I could ride a bike. Now, I wouldn't be able to do it remotely in the universe of a triathlete, okay? Not even remotely, but I could do it. You know, I could play golf, I could play no way. That is not happening.
Next up on the double rings, John Fricke.
I could grab the rings like hoist my head up to ring level, maybe. You know, I mean, uneven bars. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not a woman, but still, you know, as far as you know, balance beam, no.
Look at John on the double dismount, where he sticks that landing.
No, that did not happen.
Not you? Okay.
Running full speed towards towards a horse to hit it. Man, I face plant, break my neck, and I never walk again. Are you kidding me? No. So the gymnastics is always my thing here. I mean, it's not that I'm not interested in basketball and soccer and golf and all those other kind of stuff. I am. I'll watch the finals, you know, but will I watch qualifying? No. Because to me, the Olympics are kind of the old school Olympics. That isn't anything more than this is my one opportunity to see the best in the world in track and field, in swimming, in gymnastics. I can see the best in the world in basketball whenever I want because they're right here playing all the time. I can see the best of the world in golf. I can see you watch the best of the world in soccer. They're on TV all the time. This is the one chance I get to see the other ones. So that's why it intrigues me. I am disappointed, I will say, as an old school Olympic fan, and I go back, all right, this is all right. How old are you, John? You're sitting in your rocker on your porch there at the Northern Kia Studios. Oh, man. 1968, Mexico City. Bob Beamon wins the long jump, record long jump at altitude, but record long jump. In the 68 Olympics is the first time I was eight, and it was the first time I had ever seen boxing live. And I went, wow. And I got so into it, I had my dad take me to a Golden Gloves thing the next year that was in town. Hey, the big Golden Gloves. I said, Dad, I want to go watch boxing live. And I went and watched the Golden Gloves, and it was like, wow. And so I grew up a huge Olympic boxing fan. And I'm not just talking about some of the later ones, like, you know, how bad Roy Jones Jr. got screwed in South Korea, which is there were two great Olympic ripoffs of all time. Roy Jones Jr., who beat the literal hell out of a Korean fighter and still somehow lost. Okay. And the U.S. men's Olympic basketball team in 1972, which was the biggest theft of all time. But you'll have to go Google that and understand why that was such a joke. Why the U.S. men's team, Doug Collins, said, they didn't even show up for the silver medal because it was stolen from them. And it was. But boxing was, that's where we discovered Sugar Ray Leonard. It's where we discovered Leon Spinks and Michael Spinks for that matter. It's where we discovered the next generation of great American boxers was at the Olympics. And when Sugar Ray Leonard was at the Olympics, we all went, wow. Wait, that's true of Roy Jones as well. I guess, you know, what's happened to this sport that I grew up loving? It's like, And it took me a while to figure out what the problem is. Boxing needs Dana White. I mean, literally, not a Dana White. Boxing needs Dana White. Dana White ought to go into the league with, like, Vince McMahon and WWE, and they ought to... Somebody needs to say, okay, look, we need to stop having 142 divisions where one dude can win... like the super duper lightweight bantam title at 112 pounds, and then after the fight go eat a hamburger and come back into the ring and win the super duper bantam lightweight title at 112 and a half pounds. I mean, it's got to stop. We got to get down to like maybe eight divisions and one governing body, okay? We can't have alphabet soup, Banana Republic, WIBC, WBC, WABA, BB, ba 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 boo ba boo ba boo, UBF, UB. None of it makes any sense. We need one organizing body above all else, of which becomes the championship. You know, the unifier of all belts, and like eight belt categories, eight weight classes, and make it really clear. And then put it all over TV so that you can watch the qualifiers and the fights. To, you know, get Elon Musk to put up, you know, $100 million, you know, for the purse or something to make it worth the title of the best of the world to go after that money, right? Make it a purse thing and not just a pay-per-view thing. I mean, you can also get a portion of the pay-per-view too, don't get me wrong, but they got to do something to restructure boxing because we've lost it as a sport. I mean, we just have. You go to the mall, you gather 100 people around and say, who is the current heavyweight champion of the world? Anybody? Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. 404-726-0929. I didn't mean to get off on that. This is just my anger at what has happened to boxing. And I know all you MMA fans out there, I appreciate everything that they've done. I am a marginal P3 MMA fan. I'm a P1 boxing fan. And so I love that sport, and I miss it a lot because it was so great in the 70s and the 80s. And it was just lights out great with all the big – I mean, go back and watch – I go back in YouTube, you know, Hearns Hagler. I mean, oh, my God. How great – you know, Leonard Duran. How great these fights were, you know. And the last title fight that I was at, Oscar De La Hoya and Sugar Shane Mosley in Vegas, I was sitting – I was covering it, so I'm like, I don't know, two or maybe three rows back of the ring at Caesar's Palace. And the place is electric. And from the opening bell to the 12th round, the whole thing went, it was nonstop action. I mean, Mosley threw like 358, I don't know how many punches he landed. And same with Oscar. And so De La Hoya's in a corner, and Sugar Shane, who almost won the fight, and Sugar Shane hit him one time, and it was like watching slow motion, because they're right in front of me in the corner to my left, and his head snaps, and you know the sweat and everything, rooster tails off his head, right? It's like some scene from a movie, and I was like, wow! And then he fights his way out, and I look down on the paper that I have where I'm scoring the fight, and there's a drop of blood. And I went, okay, that's a little freaky, because that came off Oscar De La Hoya. I said, I could DNA match that thing.
Yeah. That actually, you're up close and personal. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so, but the you have to go, it's like people who hate NASCAR, I know I'm off on a subject here, but I'm not vamping here. I'm just telling you about, because the Olympics are coming up and it made me think about this. People who hate NASCAR have never been to a race. Go to a race.
Oh, I've said that so many times. I've said that so many times. When you feel that gravel.
Because once you get there, yeah, you when they come off turn four, and you can feel there's no energy that you've ever felt than 43 cars coming off turn four for a green flag. There's no noise you've ever heard like 43 cars coming off turn four for a green flag.
And it's
there's
shaking.
No excitement level.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The shaking. Mm-hmm. And then the first time that they come back around when they're back up to speed, there's no, oh my God, they're going to die. You don't know what 190 to 200 miles an hour bumper to bumper looks like until you see it in person. Because TV does it no justice.
None. Zero. John, you are zero. So right about that. But first time Sam Crenshaw really helped me up my NASCAR game when he got us the VIPs at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and we're right there mm-hmm. at the starting line, and when that guy goes, gentlemen, start your engines, and the whole thing, it's like an earthquake. It's like, vroom, vroom, right. vroom, 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 vroom. I was like, Sam, hold me. Oh, man, it's so exciting. So exciting.
Yeah, it is really exciting. And so, yeah, you don't know what 200 miles an hour in a car looks like to actually see it in person. Because if you're watching and then you can turn your head and look at them hit the first turn and they go zip, 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 zip. And you're like, oh, my God, how fast are they going? They're going 200 miles an hour. And so, yeah, it's really something. It's like hockey. Professional hockey at that level, if you've never been, I hate hockey, till you go to a game and see what they, forget about figure skating. These guys are doing it on their skates and people are hitting them. Okay. I mean, figure skating is nice. Hockey is mean and fast and nasty and okay. And the same is true of boxing. Unless you've been to a title fight and ringside in an electric arena, it's as electric an event you could ever imagine. It's really something. All right, when we get back, I'll jump into this. So what Olympic event are you most excited for this year? I wish it were boxing, but for me, it's probably gymnastics. You can jump in on that. And now we'll get into the Falcons and the NFL next. It'll be the rest of the show because I got so much to get into with the NFL and the Falcons on you, including one really big talker that we got to talk about. It came from a tweet, no less, to me on Sports Radio 99 The Game. There is a lot of NFL news to get into today, and sometimes it happens that a tweet sparks my imagination, and when I interact with all of you at 404-726-0929, or on my Twitter, and my Twitter is just my name, J-O-H-N, F-R-I-C-K-E, at John Fricke. Same with Facebook. I'm not one of these people who likes to hide. It keeps me honest. That way I'm not out there, you know, tweeting irresponsibly. I have friends in this business who I have one, well, I have friends, one in particular that I know that has a sock puppet because he talks about it all the time. I know what a sock puppet is, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have a sock puppet. For those of you who are not schooled in social media, a sock puppet is a fake account, okay? It's like a burner account, a burner social. In other words, it's a second account with a totally fake name, fake avatar, fake bio, everything like that. That way you can tweet all his other opinions and have the sock puppet and nobody knows it's him, right? I mean, I guess you could know it's him if you want to deep dive it and start digging into IPs and things like that. If you knew who I was talking about, that's why I'm not going to say his name. But I just think that that's wrong. You know, just say what you think, stand by what you say, and, you know, kind of live that way. You know, your life will be immeasurably better if you don't get into arguments online. And he likes to get into arguments online. I'm like, okay, not really sure how that makes you feel better. So the NFL here. At John Fricke, John Fricke on Facebook, either one. And those are the only two I use. I don't have a Reddit account. My Instagram was used for real estate. That's just it. Those two. Say Facebook, John Fricke, and at John Fricke. You'll see my photo on both. It's obviously me. And, of course, 404-726-0929. One of the things we're going to be watching this week in NFL camps, and a number of camps, of course, are already open, is NFL holdouts. We have, once Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown got paid, they both got north of $30 million. Matter of fact, Jefferson got nearly $90 million guaranteed. A lot of the star wideouts said, hey, what about me? And Brandon Ayuk said, hey, what about me? Because he's due to make $14 million in the last year of his deal with the Niners this year, and he might hold out for that. And the Niners like, yeah. And then Ayuk said, hey, I want to trade. Because he wants to sign and trade. And the Niners went, yeah, we're not going to do that either. So I don't know what's going to happen here with Ayuk. You Falcons fans who said, let's go get Ayuk. I mean, yeah, he's a special player. He's a great player. But no, let's not. Okay? We have other things we have to do in terms of this team moving forward. You know, we have to decide about, you know, are you paying A.J. Terrell, for example? What's going to happen, you know, in the future at quarterback? We'll get into that in a moment. And other players that you're going to have to pay. And then go out in free agency. I don't know if these wide receivers money, you gobble up too much money in a wide receiver right now. And I don't know here. CeeDee Lamb is also looking to get paid from a wide receiver spot. So is Ja'Marr Chase. So is Tyreek Hill. So is Amari Cooper. So we'll see how that kind of all plays out. Micah Parsons wants to get paid. Alvin Kamara wants to get paid. Tristan Wirfs wants to get paid in Tampa. Not to mention Matt Stafford and Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa. So, I mean, Tua and Love and Stafford, I mean, there are a lot of guys that are going to be holdouts. And the new thing is you're going to see is something called a hold-in. Okay, not a hold-out, a hold-in. Where a guy like Kamara says he's probably going to be a hold-in. Tua might be a hold-in. They'll report to camp. Basically as a spectator. They'll report to, but they ain't putting pads on and they ain't putting a helmet on. They may put their jersey on, but they're going to be standing on the sidelines watching. They'll be there so you can't find him. Hey, I'm here. And the coaches won't get mad at him either, by the way. Well, they could steal the coach. No. There's no way the coach is going to make that guy mad. Coach is going to go, okay, we got to get that guy worked out here and the GM, but you can't find him because he reported. He basically just says, oh, I'm injured. You know, it's my ankle. You know, and in Tua's case, who's going to argue? I mean, all you got to say is, and in Kamara's case, too, because he got dinged up, too. Oh, I can't work. It's my knee. It's my ankle. It's my back. Whatever it is. You know, you make something up. It's called a hold in. That's the new thing, to avoid being fined. Kind of interesting to watch out. So, we'll keep our eyes on all that. That's another thing to watch this week, because all these NFL, all of a sudden, the NFL stories are pouring in, aren't they? We have Shaq Barrett announcing his retirement yesterday. Former great, of course, for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Went to sign with the Dolphins. Just said, I can't do it. My body won't take it anymore. So he is retired here. Steelers fans online are begging Arthur Smith to put in packages for Justin Fields and to run essentially a two-quarterback system with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Russ would start, but there would be packages put in for Justin Fields. Because Arthur Smith, now think about this, oh, that's not going to happen. Arthur Smith used two quarterbacks 2 years ago, right? Noodle Arm Quitter and DoorDash. Used two quarterbacks last year, DoorDash and Taylor Heineke. Now, he didn't use them in the same time. Oh, wait, he did put in Felipe Franks and run a package for Felipe Franks, right? He did. So, I don't know how far-fetched this might be. It's something that we're going to have to just kind of keep our eye on, because it wouldn't shock me in the opening game if all of a sudden, here comes Justin Fields on, you know, why? What are we looking at here? Because they're going to hold something. I think the Falcons just need to be prepared that the Steelers fans might be onto something here. That the Steelers might have a package of, you've not seen this yet, and throw Justin Fields out into the field. Especially considering the success that Justin had against the Falcons last year. Yeah, I could see something like that. Just the Steelers, oh, no, that's not going to happen. I'm calling bullcrap on that. I think it is going to happen. I think it's going to happen in the opening game. Just keep your head out there, okay? By the way, speaking of Jordan Love holding out, the Packers are working out Jake Fromm. How about that? All right, see if he can find a home. Arnold Ebiketie was spotted, apparently. Brian Jordan has got a pass rush retreat, and not that the other Brian Jordan. He's a rush coach. And Ebiketie apparently went to his pass rush retreat. So good, good. I mean, because when we talk about guys having to take the next step in their careers, Clark Phillips, Matthew Bergeron, certainly Zach Harrison, Arnold Ebiketie's got to take the next step in his career, and he's got to do it this year, because if he doesn't, he's gone. And he's got to know, well, at least from the Falcons, he's gone. And so he'll turn into like Tack McKinley, you know, with a little bit more, you know. So he doesn't want that. So Arnold Ebiketie is going to have a year where he produces, you know, in terms of pressures and sacks and impact on the game. And so he went to this retreat, I think, is a good sign. So we'll keep our eyes on that and a lot more NFL stories that are coming up here. One of the other stories is the breakout story, because there was a big discussion about who the Falcons' breakout star was going to be. And CBS Sports did their all-breakout team, and they said that Drake London was going to be the breakout guy. Josh Edwards at CBS said that, you know, now that he has a real quarterback, he said this: the Rams style offense, which happens to be, by the way, I love this, Rams style offense. Do you know the Rams style offense that Sean McVay ran, that Raheem Morris is part of? You do know that was the Falcons 2016 offense, right? Everybody know that it was actually the Falcons offense? Okay. The Rams-style offense that Zach Robinson is bringing over, which is really the Falcons offense that Raheem ran here, anyway, has always rewarded wide receivers willing to block in space. You mean like Julio Jones? Going back to my notes, this is him talking, from the 2022 NFL draft, London was a committed blocker, driving his feet on contact in the run game. He became more effective as he added mass to his frame as Atlanta welcomes its new offense. Not really a new offense, it's old offense back. London is the one that stands to benefit the most. Now, that may be true. He stands to benefit here because they're bringing back the 2016 Atlanta Falcons offense, not the Rams offense they're importing. But that's another story here. So do you think that London, this is one question, for example, on the Falcons that you can jump into. Is London the breakout guy this year? Is it Pitts going to be the breakout guy? Is it Bijan going to be? Is it Cousins who's going to be? Look, new team, new division. There are people saying Kirk Cousins is the favorite right now on the board for comeback player of the year. Okay, and that makes sense, by the way. Makes perfect sense. He could be favorite for comeback player of the year. I mentioned Arnold Ebiketie. Could he be the breakout guy going to this retreat? Could it be Zach Harrison who's the breakout guy? Who do you think is going to be the breakout guy in the Falcons? Because there are a lot of guys that you can nominate for this particular award here, or at least this particular talking point honor on the show. Who's going to be the Falcons' breakout guy? But really the thrust of the show is going to go, so there's the Olympics question, that's one, and there's the breakout, so which Olympic event are you most excited about? Then there's the breakout story, you know, who's going to be the Falcons' breakout guy? That's question number two. And then there's the third question that I put into the show. Came from a tweet. He goes by Nick Pop Papagiorgio. That's not his real name, obviously. We were talking here briefly. He was talking about Penix and whether Penix, how many games Penix is going to play this year. And he said, I said, well, I'm excited to see him in preseason. And he responded by, because, you know, obviously Penix is going to play a lot in preseason. So I said, I'm excited to see him in the preseason. And this Nick guy said, you mean excited to see him, period, because it's just not stopping, because it's not just stopping in preseason. You mean excited to see him, period, because it's not just stopping in preseason. I responded by saying, well, I hope not. And he said, they drafted him for a reason. Cousins is not going to start every game this season for one reason or another. And I said, boy, I hope he starts every game. And we don't see Penix until like 2026. And he writes back, this Nick guy, John, that's not happening. Cousins' history with big wins, and this is him speaking, lack of, and age, 36 next month, and other factors just don't support that happening. They can still win with Penix. This team is good, not just Cousins. No, I'm not going to argue his last statement. They can still win with Penix. This team is good, and not just Cousins. I totally agree with that. There's where Nick and I see eye to eye. Look, I think Michael Penix is going to be a really good quarterback. I'm going to be really interested in, say, 4 years from now to compare Michael Penix to, say, Drake May, Michael Penix to even Caleb Williams, Michael Penix to Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix to J.J. McCarthy. It'll be really interesting to see how this class kind of starts to work its way out. And we won't really know for about 4 years, because that's about the time we're really kind of getting into the Penix era of Atlanta Falcons football. But I want to be clear about this with Nick and with all of you. The best possible thing is we do not see Michael Penix take a snap this year for the Atlanta Falcons. You understand that, right? Does everybody understand that? The best possible, because what does it mean? It means Kirk Cousins is 100% healthy, and it means Kirk Cousins is really effective. And that's what you want. Because if Kirk Cousins is 100% healthy and really effective, that means really good things are going to happen for this team. And if you can't understand that, you can call in and I'll walk you through it again. Okay, it's really simple, because this is what's going to happen. This is why this is the third question of the day. Michael Penix is going to get into the preseason against Miami, against Jacksonville. Who the hell else are we playing here? Who are we playing, Eric? We're playing Miami, Jacksonville, somebody else. There's three good teams.
Baltimore. Ravens.
Yeah, three good teams.
We start with the Ravens.
With the Dolphins.
Then we go to the Ravens, and then we have the home game. Yes.
Yeah. So at Miami, at Baltimore, and home against Jacksonville. Okay. So this is going to happen in preseason. Michael Penix is going to show out. And you're going to go, oh, my God, this guy's really damn good. And you're going to go, yeah, we've been trying to tell you, yes. And then it's going to come, oh, and the calls are going to come in. We've got to start him. He's got to be the starting quarterback. This team, I don't care if you have to eat that $100 million, he's got to be the starting quarterback. And, of course, my answer is going to be no. And the reason no is because the guy that is going to start a quarterback is a veteran, and he is what they call an elite processor. I want the game to come to Michael Penix. It's really, look at the Packers as an example here. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years. Jordan Love sat for a couple of years. Really beneficial to be able to not to have to go out there as a rookie and figure it out, especially when you're starting the season against the Steelers, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bucs, and the Saints in your first five games. Let Kirk Cousins, who's faced all these teams plenty of times, been on that stage plenty of times, let him handle this. But it's going to happen. So there is a lot of NFL news to get into today, and sometimes it happens that a tweet sparks my imagination, and when I interact with all of you at 404-726-0929 or on my Twitter, and my Twitter is just my name, J-O-H-N, F-R-I-C-K-E, at John Fricke. Same with Facebook. I'm not one of these people who likes to hide. It keeps me honest. That way I'm not out there, you know, tweeting irresponsibly. I have friends in this business who one in particular that I know that has a sock puppet, because he talks about it all the time. I know what a sock puppet is, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have a sock puppet. For those of you who are not schooled in social media, a sock puppet is a fake account, okay? It's like a burner account, a burner social. In other words, it's a second account with a totally fake name, fake avatar, fake bio, everything like that. And that way he can tweet all his other opinions and have the sock puppet and nobody knows it's him, right? I mean, I guess you could know it's him if you want to deep dive it and start digging into IPs and things like that. If you knew who I was talking about, that's why I'm not going to say his name. But I just think that that's wrong. You know, just say what you think, stand by what you say, and, you know, kind of live that way. You know, your life will be immeasurably better if you don't get into arguments online. And he likes to get into arguments online. I'm like, okay. Not really sure how that makes you feel better. So the NFL here. So at John Fricke on Facebook, either one. And those are the only two I use. I don't have a Reddit account. My Instagram was used for real estate. That's just it. Those two. Say Facebook, John Fricke, and at John Fricke. You'll see my photo on both. It's obviously me. And, of course, 404-726-0929. One of the things we're going to be watching this week in NFL camps, and a number of camps, of course, are already open, is NFL holdouts. We have, once Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown got paid, they both got north of $30 million. Matter of fact, Jefferson got nearly $90 million guaranteed. A lot of the star wideouts said, hey, what about me? And Brandon Ayuk said, hey, what about me? Because he's due to make $14 million in the last year of his deal with the Niners this year, and he might hold out for that. And the Niners like, yeah. And then Ayuk said, hey, I want to trade. Because he wants to sign and trade. And the Niners went, yeah, we're not going to do that either. So I don't know what's going to happen here with Ayuk. You Falcons fans who said, let's go get Ayuk. I mean, yeah, he's a special player. He's a great player. But no, let's not. Okay? We have other things we have to do in terms of this team moving forward. You know, we have to decide about, you know, you're paying A.J. Terrell, for example. What's going to happen, you know, in the future? Quarterback, we'll get into that in a moment, and other players that you're going to have to pay, and then go out in free agency. I don't know if these wide receivers' money, you gobble up too much money in a wide receiver right now, and I don't know here. CeeDee Lamb is also looking to get paid from a wide receiver spot. So is Ja'Marr Chase, so is Tyreek Hill, so is Amari Cooper. So we'll see how that kind of all plays out. Micah Parsons wants to get paid. Alvin Kamara wants to get paid. Tristan Wirfs wants to get paid in Tampa. Not to mention Matt Stafford and Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa. So, I mean, Tua and Love and Stafford, I mean, there are a lot of guys that are going to be holdouts. And the new thing is you're going to see is something called a hold-in. Okay, not a hold-out, a hold-in. Where a guy like Kamara says he's probably going to be a hold-in. Tua might be a hold-in. They'll report to camp. Basically as a spectator. They'll report to but they ain't putting pads on and they ain't putting a helmet on. They may put their jersey on, but they're going to be standing on the sidelines watching. They'll be there so you can't find him. Hey, I'm here. And the coaches won't get mad at him either, by the way. Well, they could steal the coach. No. There's no way the coach is going to make that guy mad. Coach is going to go, okay, we got to get that guy worked out here and the GM, but you can't find him because he reported. He basically just says, I'm injured. You know, I it's my ankle. You know, and in Tua's case, who's going to argue? I mean, all you got to say is, and in Kamara's case, too, because he got dinged up, too. Oh, I can't work. It's my knee. It's my ankle. It's my back. Whatever it is. You know, you make something up. It's called a hold in. That's the new thing, to avoid being fined. It's kind of interesting to watch out. So we'll keep our eyes on all that. That's another thing to watch this week, because all these NFL, all of a sudden, the NFL stories are pouring in, aren't they? We have Shaq Barrett announcing his retirement yesterday. Former great, of course, for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Went to sign with the Dolphins. Just said, I can't do it. My body won't take it anymore. So he is retired here. Steelers fans online are begging Arthur Smith to put in packages for Justin Fields and to run essentially a two-quarterback system with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Russ would start, but there would be packages put in for Justin Fields. Because Arthur Smith, now think about this, that's not going to happen. Arthur Smith used two quarterbacks 2 years ago, right? Noodle Arm Quitter and DoorDash. Used two quarterbacks last year, DoorDash and Taylor Heineke. Now, he didn't use them in the same time. Oh, wait, he did put in Felipe Franks and run a package for Felipe Franks, right? He did. So, I don't know how far-fetched this might be. it's something that we're going to have to just kind of keep our eye on, because it wouldn't shock me in the opening game if all of a sudden, here comes Justin Fields on, you know, why? What are we looking at here? Because they're going to hold something. I think the Falcons just need to be prepared that the Steelers fans might be onto something here. That the Steelers might have a package of, you've not seen this yet, and throw Justin Fields out into the field. Especially considering the success that Justin had against the Falcons last year. Yeah, I could see something like that. Just keep, the Steelers, oh no, that's not going to happen. I'm calling bullcrap on that. I think it is going to happen. I think it's going to happen in the opening game. Just keep your head out there, okay? By the way, speaking of Jordan Love holding out, the Packers are working out Jake Fromm. How about that? All right, see if he can find a home. Arnold Ebiketie was spotted, apparently. Brian Jordan has got a pass rush retreat, and not that, the other Brian Jordan. He's a rush coach. And Ebiketie apparently went to his pass rush retreat. So good, good. I mean, because when we talk about guys having to take the next step in their careers, Clark Phillips, Matthew Bergeron, certainly Zach Harrison, Arthur Ebiketie, I mean, Arnold Ebiketie, Arnold Ebiketie's got to take the next step in his career, and he's got to do it this year, because if he doesn't, he's gone. And he's got to know, well, at least from the Falcons, he's gone. And so he'll turn into like Tack McKinley, you know, with a little bit more, you know. So he doesn't want that. So Arnold Ebiketie is going to have a year where he produces, you know, in terms of pressures and sacks and impact on the game. And so he went to this retreat, I think, is a good sign. So we'll keep our eyes on that and a lot more NFL stories that are coming up here. One of the other stories is the breakout story, because there was a big discussion about who the Falcons' breakout star was going to be. And CBS Sports did their all-breakout team, and they said that Drake London was going to be the breakout guy. Josh Edwards at CBS said that, you know, now that he has a real quarterback, he said this: the Rams style offense, which happens to be, by the way, I love this, Rams style offense. Do you know the Rams style offense that Sean McVay ran, that Raheem Morris is part of? You do know that was the Falcons 2016 offense, right? Everybody know that it was actually the Falcons offense? Okay. The Rams-style offense that Zach Robinson is bringing over, which is really the Falcons offense that Raheem ran here, anyway, has always rewarded wide receivers willing to block in space. You mean like Julio Jones? Going back to my notes, this is him talking, from the 2022 NFL draft, London was a committed blocker, driving his feet on contact in the run game. He became more effective as he added mass to his frame as Atlanta welcomes its new offense. Not really a new offense, it's old offense back. London is the one that stands to benefit the most. Now, that may be true. He stands to benefit here because they're bringing back the 2016 Atlanta Falcons offense, not the Rams offense they're importing. But that's another story here. So do you think that London, this is one question, for example, on the Falcons that you can jump into. Is London the breakout guy this year? Is it Pitts going to be the breakout guy? Is it Bijan going to be? Is it Cousins who's going to be? Look, new team, new division. There are people saying Kirk Cousins is the favorite right now on the board for comeback player of the year. Okay, and that makes sense, by the way. Makes perfect sense. He could be favorite for comeback player of the year. I mentioned Arnold Ebiketie. Could he be the breakout guy going to this retreat? Could it be Zach Harrison who's the breakout guy? Who do you think is going to be the breakout guy in the Falcons? Because there are a lot of guys that you could nominate for this particular award here, or at least this particular talking point honor on the show. Who's going to be the Falcons' breakout guy? But really the thrust of the show is going to go, so there's the Olympics question, that's one, and there's the breakout, so which Olympic event are you most excited about? Then there's the breakout story, you know, who's going to be the Falcons' breakout guy, that's question number two. And then there's the third question that I'll put into the show. Came from a tweet. He goes by Nick Papagiorgio. That's not his real name, obviously. We were talking here briefly. He was talking about Penix and whether Penix, how many games Penix is going to play this year. And he said, I said, well, I'm excited to see him in preseason. And he responded by, because, you know, obviously Penix is going to play a lot in preseason. And so I said, I'm excited to see him in the preseason. And this Nick guy said, you mean excited to see him, period, because it's just not stopping. Because it's not just stopping in preseason. You're excited to see him, period, because it's not just stopping in preseason. I responded by saying, well, I hope not. And he said, they drafted him for a reason. Cousins is not going to start every game this season for one reason or another. And I said, boy, I hope he starts every game. And we don't see Penix until like 2026. And he writes back, this Nick guy, John, that's not happening. Cousins' history with big wins, and this is him speaking, lack of, and age, 36 next month, and other factors just don't support that happening. They can still win with Penix. This team is good, not just Cousins. No, I'm not going to argue his last statement. They can still win with Penix. This team is good, and not just Cousins. I totally agree with that. There's where Nick and I see eye to eye. Look, I think Michael Penix is going to be a really good quarterback. I'm going to be really interested in, say, 4 years from now to compare Michael Penix to, say, Drake May, Michael Penix to even Caleb Williams, Michael Penix to Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix to J.J. McCarthy. It'll be really interesting to see how this class kind of starts to work its way out. And we won't really know for about 4 years, because that's about the time we're really kind of getting into the Penix era of Atlanta Falcons football. But I want to be clear about this with Nick and with all of you. The best possible thing is we do not see Michael Penix take a snap this year for the Atlanta Falcons. You understand that, right? Does everybody understand that? The best possible, because what does it mean? It means Kirk Cousins is 100% healthy, and it means Kirk Cousins is really effective. And that's what you want. Because if Kirk Cousins is 100% healthy and really effective, that means really good things are going to happen for this team. And if you can't understand that, you can call in and I'll walk you through it again. Okay, it's really simple, because this is what's going to happen. This is why this is the third question of the day. Michael Penix is going to get into the preseason against Miami, against Jacksonville. Who the hell else are we playing here? Who are we playing, Eric? We're playing Miami, Jacksonville, somebody else. There's three good teams.
Baltimore. Ravens.
Yeah, three good teams.
We start with the Ravens.
With the Dolphins. So
then we go to the Ravens, and then we have the home game. Yes.
Yeah. So at Miami, at Baltimore, and home against Jacksonville. Okay. So this is going to happen in preseason. Michael Penix is going to show out. And you're going to go, oh, my God, this guy's really damn good. And you're going to go, yeah, we've been trying to tell you yes. And then it's going to come, oh, and the calls are going to come in. We've got to start him. He's got to be the starting quarterback. This team, I don't care if you have to eat that $100 million, he's got to be the starting quarterback. And, of course, my answer is going to be no. And the reason no is because the guy that is going to start a quarterback is a veteran, and he is what they call an elite processor. I want the game to come to Michael Penix. It's really, look at the Packers as an example here. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years. Jordan Love sat for a couple of years. Really beneficial to be able to not to have to go out there as a rookie and figure it out, especially when you're starting the season against the Steelers, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bucs, and the Saints in your first five games. Let Kirk Cousins, who's faced all these teams plenty of times, been on that stage plenty of times, let him handle this. But it's going to happen. So the third question is, are we going to have a problem when it comes to the quarterback and the discussion before the opening game? And I'm not talking about somebody getting injured, okay? Presuming Kirk Cousins is healthy, presuming Michael Penix does Michael Penix things in preseason, are we going to have a problem, we being all us Falcons fans, going into the opener against Pittsburgh? With Pittsburgh announcing, or at least their fans saying, what I think is true, that Arthur Smith is putting packages in for Justin Fields. Are we going to have a problem? Now, the Steelers, again, are denying the whole package thing. I think the fans are actually onto something. I'd like to know what's going on in Steelers camp. They'll shut it down. We won't see. I think the Falcons are smart enough in Flowery Branch to know they have to prepare for Justin Fields. They have to prepare for both quarterbacks. And so I think that this is floated out there by somebody within the Steelers organization posing as a fan and then letting the Steelers deny it with the whole point of it getting back. This is all the gamesmanship that goes on, right? All right, three questions for you. 404-726-0929. We open up the phone lines. It's all you for the rest. You can pick from any of the three, or you can go off the board and talk to me about anything you want to talk about. What Olympic sport are you most, what Olympic event sport you're most excited about seeing this weekend beginning in Paris? Who is the Falcons' breakout star for this year? And are we going to have a problem at quarterback post-preseason and pre-the Pittsburgh game in our discussions about who should start and be the guy this year for the Atlanta Falcons? It is a Sunday morning, a Falcons football Sunday morning. It's Falcons football week, the beginning of the first football week of the year for the Atlanta Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.